the 8th chapter of Matthew's Gospel, verses 11 and 12. The Lord Jesus Christ Himself is the speaker. And He says, "And I say unto you, that many shall come from the east and west and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." I want to speak this evening on God's heaven. God's heaven. Tell me, my secret soul. Oh, tell me, hope and faith. Is there no resting place from sorrow, sin, and death? Is there no happy spot where mortals may be blessed? Where grief may find a balm and weariness a rest? Faith, hope, and love, best boons to mortals given. Wave their bright wings and answer, "Yes, in heaven." And praise God, there is a place where there is rest, eternal rest from weariness. Praise God, there is a place where grief finds an eternal balm. Praise God, there is a place where tears are forgotten, wiped eternally away by the finger of the everlasting God. Heaven, God's heaven, the land that is fairer than day, the city that lieth foursquare. In this text of Scripture, we have some wonderful things about heaven. First of all, we have the reality of heaven. Praise God, heaven's real. We're not talking about some sentimental thing tonight. We're not discoursing upon something that's a mere figment of human imagination. Praise God, we're talking about something that's as real as our life's existence here upon this earth. And Jesus said, "And I say unto you," Jesus taught us that there was a heaven. I want to talk about the reality of heaven first of all. And then if you look at this text again, you'll find suggested the road to heaven. Yes. They're going to come from the east and from the west. We have the suggestion of the pilgrims bound for glory and the pilgrims coming home. And then if you look again, you will discover that the Lord Jesus lays emphasis on the royalty of heaven. He calls it the kingdom of heaven. Thank God for the regal majesty of the Father's house. And then you will notice, if you look again, you have the residence of heaven. Yes. Many are going to be in heaven. I like that word, many. And lo, a great multitude which no man could number, of all kindreds and people and nations and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes and palms in their hands. And then I want you to notice the recognition in heaven. We're going to know Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. We never met them here, but we'll know them. And friend, we're going to know our friends in heaven. There's recognition in heaven. And then last of all, there's the suggestion of rest in heaven. They're going to sit down. The journey's over. The battle's past. The victory's won. We're going to sit down at the great marriage supper of the Lamb. What a sitting down that'll be when the saints of God take their seats for all eternity at the festive board of heaven's blessed. But you know, there's a note of sorrow struck in the second verse. In the second verse, you have the rejects of heaven. People that'll not be there. I want very briefly to deal with these great truths tonight about heaven. First of all, the reality of heaven. I want you to notice the note of certainty that the Lord strikes. He says, I say unto you, why am I so sure tonight that there is a heaven? Why am I so certain that my loved ones who died trusting in Jesus are in heaven? Why am I so confident that one day we'll meet them in the home over there? Because the Lord Jesus Christ Himself taught us to believe this. We have the authority of Jesus Christ. And the word of my Savior is good in time, it's good in sorrow, it's good at death, and it's good for all eternity. I believe the blessed word of Jesus Christ. And you know, the word of Jesus has been confirmed by human experience. My, when the saints of God go home, instead of sorrow at the bedside, there's joy. I started to preach the gospel when I was 16 years of age. First sermon I ever preached was in the evangelistic hall, 6 miles across, not far from where I was preaching today. In fact, the man who asked me to preach was in the meeting today. I was speaking to him. That's a long time ago, and I have been at many deathbeds since that time. And I have seen the reality of heaven on the faces of the dying saints of God. I'm thinking of one case. The parents of this young lassie are with us tonight. They'll permit me to mention it. In the early days of my ministry, a fine young girl, just in her teens, took seriously ill. And she passed on from that illness to heaven's blessed. I was there in the room not long before she passed Jordan's dark river. And that young girl, who was of a very nervous disposition, was absolutely content. The light of heaven had started to already be reflected upon her face. And I remember saying her to her daddy, "Don't weep, Daddy. I'm going to be with Jesus." "Don't weep, Mammy. I'm going to be with my Lord." And I remember holding her pale white hand in mine. And there wasn't a tremor in her hand. And she said, "Mr. Paisley, I'll meet you in the city that lies 4 square." and she fell asleep in Jesus. And one day we're going to see her in the land that is fairer than day. And one day we're going to rejoice with her in the wonder of redemption's story. I want to tell you, I have seen this confirmed over and over again among the dying saints of God. I've heard the dying saints say, Jesus, 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 as if they had already seen the Savior, as if the doors of heaven had already swung right to receive their blessed spirit as it was loosed from the mortal clay. Yes, my friend, heaven is a reality. Jesus taught it. Experience confirms it. I'll tell you something else. The hope of the people of God anticipates it. Praise God, we're anticipating heaven, some of us tonight. I know there's times when I have prayed and I have been in heaven. When God came down our souls to greet and glory crowned the mercy seat. And it seemed that we were almost there. And then we had to return to the battle and the struggle of life. But praise God, we knew that heaven was before us. And all will be well at the end of the journey. So much for the reality of heaven. Did I say a word about the road to heaven? These are interesting words. They shall come from the east and the west. No man knows where east begins or where the west finds its end. This is an immeasurable distance. This is an impossible distance, humanly speaking. But praise God, they're going to come the impossible journey, humanly speaking, to heaven. Humanly speaking, the way to heaven is impossible because of our sins. Our sins should take us down and down and down to hell. But thank God, the grace of God is lifting us up and up and up to heaven. Because Jesus Christ has dealt with our sins through the shedding of His own most precious blood. Could I say that this road to heaven seems, humanly speaking, an impossible road because of sin? Could I say it seems an impossible road because of Satan? Satan attacks us as we set our face heavenward. And you remember the day you set out for heaven at the old rugged cross, and the devil came and attacked you. And you couldn't tell me, my pilgrim saint tonight, how many onslaughts the devil has made upon you to try and drag you down to hell. But praise God, we're still on the glory road. Praise God, we're nearer to heaven than ever we've been before. God has given us grace. God has given us strength. God has given us help. God has given us encouragement. God has given us blessing. And today we can say, by the grace of God, I am what I am. And if God has brought us so far, praise God, He'll bring us to the end of the journey. If He has got us over all these hurdles, and all these temptations, and all these trials, and all these troubles, and all these afflictions, praise God, He'll get us into the city of God. My, it's absolutely certain tonight that we're going to make it. We're going to see the King in His beauty. And then could I say the road to heaven, humanly speaking, is impossible when we have a look at ourselves. Who are we? We're just poor sinners and nothing at all. But Jesus Christ is our all in all. This week I received one of the most encouraging letters I've ever received in my ministry. Some months ago, we had a meeting in the unfinished church before the roof was in the church. I received this letter today, or yesterday, from a dear brother. He writes, God as my companion. My dear friend, I often wonder if you remember the young Scotsman who came to you on Sunday the 21st of June at the service in the unfinished church and ask you to introduce him to our Savior Jesus Christ as the Redeemer of mankind. I take this opportunity to inform you that since that wonderful day, my life appears to have changed completely. By the good news of the gospel, led by the Holy Spirit in deep and true repentance, my every effort appears changed with triumph while I walk humbly with God. We had so short a time together, I could not possibly tell you anything about myself, while in your presence words appeared to be of no consequence. I only knew Jesus Christ was willing to accept another sinner. And by his hand, you were there to introduce me to my Lord and Savior. Throughout my life, I have held very strong Protestant convictions. Indeed, I am District Secretary of the Loyal Orange Institution of Scotland. And at this moment, very grave shadows appear on the Ulster horizons. I hope and trust God may grant you strength and length of years to continue your honorable fight against all the enemies of God's holy word. Now, that letter encouraged my heart. That man came all the way from Scotland to attend that meeting in the unfinished church. He was a loyalist, but he didn't know anything of the grace of God. And I had the great joy of leading him to Jesus Christ. So all we are, we're only sinners, aren't we? But praise God, we're going to make it. We're going to make this journey by the grace of God. You know why? Because we're on the road that leads via the cross. I must needs go on in the blood-sprinkled way. 'Tis the path that my Savior trod. If I ever climb to the heights sublime where the soul is at home with God, the way of the cross leads home. The way of the cross leads home. It is sweet to know, as I onward go, that the way of the cross leads home. Have you been to the cross? Have you started for heaven? Are you on the road up or on the broad road down? Answer that question tonight, my sinner friend. And then let me say a word about the royalty of heaven. My, what a majestic place heaven is, with its walls of jasper and its streets of pure gold. If you have your testament, would you turn over to that 21st chapter again of Revelation? And he carried me away, verse 10, in the Spirit, to a great and high mountain, and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God. Verse 10, verse 11, having the glory of God. And her light was like unto a jasper most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. And at a wall great and high, and at 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, the names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. Verse 14, on the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. Verse 18, and the building of the wall was of jasper, and the city was pure gold, like unto clear glass. Verse 21, and the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gate was a one pearl. And the street of the city was pure gold, as it were transparent glass. And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it. For the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. Oh, this great royal city of God. But you know, my friend, you could have a beautiful palace, but if the king wasn't there, it would be worth nothing. but praise God, the kings in this city. My blessed Savior, He once was crowned with thorns and earth, but He's crowned with glory now. And we can take up the screen and we can say, I know, I shall see in His beauty the King in whose law I delight, who lovingly guardeth my footsteps and giveth me songs in the night. We're going to see Jesus. He's in that city. That's what makes it a royal city. And then we have the residents of heaven. Many! That's a great word. Some people think that the saints of God in heaven are just a few beraggled people that get there. Don't you believe it? God's people are the many. Lo, a great multitude which no man can number. My eyes see the old patriarchs there. Old Abel, who believed in the blood of the Lamb. Enoch, who walked with God. Noah, who outrode the greatest storm that ever hit this world in the ark of God's preparation. I see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob there. And the sons of Israel among that throb of the tribes that are sealed by the election of God. And I see the kings there. David, the man after God's own heart. He's taken up another heart, not made with man, and he's singing a psalm that no one can learn but those who love the name of Jesus. I see all the prophets of the Old Testament. Old Elijah's there. He's as much on fire now as he was on the top of Carmel when he confounded the prophets of Baal. Elisha is there. Amos and Jonah and all the rest of the prophets. What a mighty multitude. And what about the New Testament saints? Measuring right up from the beginning to the end of the Revelation, they're all there. And the saints of the early church that were thrown to the lions in the great Colosseum at Rome, they're there. And all the saints, right down to the Reformation period, those that were persecuted, those that were troubled and afflicted and wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. And what about the saints of the Reformation? This is Reformation Sunday. We remember Luther and his hammer and his nails. And we remember how he nailed the thesis to the door and how he declared war on the Roman Antichrist. And God shook Europe to the depths of its foundations. All the saints that were martyred, the confessors, the covenanters, the men of the covenant and of the Kirk of Scotland who stained the heather bells deep crimson with their blood, they're all there. The saints of the revivals, the saints of the 20th century, our own dear ones whom we parted with at the river. Praise God, they're all there. My, what a place is heaven. But best of all, Jesus is there. Yeah. There are people I want to see when I get to heaven. There is one person I particularly want to meet up with, and that's the dying thief. If there's anybody in the book I love, it's that dying thief. You know, when everybody was cursing Jesus, and when the disciples had run away, there was one man who said, Lord, 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 remember me. I think after I see my Lord, I'll want to look for that old dying thief and get him by the hand and hear his story as he tells me the story of his conversion. My, what a time we're going to have in heaven. The residents of heaven. Recognition in heaven. You say, preacher, a woman came to me one day and she said, I don't think we'll know anybody in heaven. Says I, madam, do you think you'll be more ignorant in glory than you are when you were down here? My friend, I want to tell you, we'll know one another in heaven, all right. We're going to know Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. There'll be nobody in heaven need to point out my Savior to me. I've never seen him, but praise God, I'll see him that day. Do you remember the dear old saint who was blind? And she said, even if I had my blindness in heaven, I could grope my way to Jesus and I'd know him by the nail prints in his hand. My, we'll know the Lord. There'll be recognition in heaven. Yes. And then let me tell you, there's rest in heaven. There's rest. And you know, those scriptures tell us about the no mores of heaven. And there's things in heaven that are no more. First of all, there's no more sea. It's a great verse. I love the sea. I like to stand and watch the great waves beat against the rocks. I love to ride in the boat as it's shaken in the storm. I love the sea, but there'll be no sea in heaven. You know why? Sea symbolizes sin. The wicked are like the troubled sea that cannot rest. There's no sin in heaven. You know what sea is like? It symbolizes storms. Praise God, there's no storms in heaven. There's no flurry in the streets of glory. There's no nerve-wracking experiences up yonder in Emmanuel's land. All is peace and all is still. I'll tell you what else. The sea speaks of separation. When I'm away across the Atlantic and think back about home and about my church and about my loved ones, I know that the sea separates. And friend, I want to tell you, we have known the bitterness of separation. You have stood at the bedside and so have I. We have seen our loved ones pass away from us. And there's many of us tonight long for the touch of the vanished hand and the sound of the voice that's still. And many of us have shed our bitter tears of deep remorse. And we've said goodbye, goodbye, and death came. And we pulled down the blinds and we shut ourselves in the darkness. And there was a loneliness that broke our hearts. And hot tears ran down our cheeks. And we knew the bitterness of separation. But brethren and sisters, we'll never say goodbye in heaven. We'll never say goodbye. For in that land of joy and song, they'll never say goodbye. There'll be no more sea. We'll never say goodbye. The meeting will go on forever. Hallelujah. What a meeting that'll be. The meeting in the air and the sweet, sweet, sweet by and by. I'm going to meet you over there in that home beyond the sky. Never break up. You know what else it says here? I love this. There's going to be no more sorrow. No more sorrow. When I was a little boy, I used to sing a hymn, "There'll be no sorrow there. In my Father's house, in my Father's house, in my Father's house, there'll be no sorrow there." And I want to tell you, friend, it's true. The sorrows will be over when we get home. And you've had your sorrows. Some of you, I know you well. I have been in your home when the sorrows hit you. I have sat down by the fireside. I've opened this old book. I've knelt with my arm round many of your shoulders, and God knows I have wept with those that weep, and I have rejoiced with those that rejoice. But mother, that dear little one that death took from between your arms, and you were had deep sorrow, you're going to see that little one once again. That sweet little flower that was too good for the rough wilderness of the world, and God put down his hand and took it away and transplanted it in the upper garden of his keeping. And I remember, mother, the day I put my arm on your shoulder and we wept over the little cot. And in the cot there was a lifeless child. I know how you felt. Let me tell you, mother, the sorrows will be over in that great land of perfect day. They don't hack up the hillsides of glory with a grave digger's spade. There's no death in heaven. There's no curse in heaven. There's no tears in heaven. There's no sorrows in heaven. Praise God, it's all over. Rest, sweet rest in heaven. They're going to sit down. What a day that'll be when we'll sit down. You don't sit down when you're in this old earth. Sure you don't. It's all a battle. It's all a labor. It's all fight. It's all warfare. It's all heartaches and headaches and troubles. And we pass one valley and we're into another. And one darkness comes, and then there's a bit of gleaming light, and then it's darkness again. It's not an easy road. We're traveling to heaven. And many are the hardships by the way. There's many thorns in the road to glory. And there's many hard places in that uphill track to heaven. But let me tell you, friend, heaven's the place of rest. We're going to sit down. Someday the preacher will preach his last sermon and fight his last battle, lead his last march, make his last protest. And then it's going to be heaven. We're going to sit down in heaven. What a day. Blessed are they that are called to the great marriage supper of the Lamb. Are you called? I've got the passport inside tonight. I know that when death closes these eyes of mine, I'm going to be in heaven forevermore. What about the rejects of heaven? But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Are you going to be a reject? Are you going to come to a barred gate and a barred door? And is death for you not the anteroom to heaven, but a leap into the dark midnight of eternal hell? May God help you to trust Christ. May God help you to start for heaven. In God's name, sinner, be in time. Let's bow our heads. Father in heaven, we have been speaking of your house, the house of many mansions, the house prepared for the people of God. Oh God, we pray in Jesus' name, that many souls tonight may start for heaven by the blood of the Lamb. As our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed and we're perfectly still and quiet before God, the meeting's almost over, could we be still just for a moment? In the meeting there are three classes of people. Thank God there are people here tonight and they can say, praise God, I've started for heaven. Every man and every woman in the meeting, as her heads are bowed and her eyes are closed, that are on their way to heaven by the grace of God, would you lift up your hand tonight in silent testimony? Yes, preacher, I'm on my road to heaven. Thank God for all these hands. God bless you. Just put them down again. Now, there are those here. Just put them down again. There are those here that couldn't raise their hand. You haven't started for heaven. Just take your hands down again. Thank you. There are those here that couldn't raise their hand. They haven't started for heaven. They're not saved. They're not washed in the blood. They're not ready for the trumpet call that will summon some of us heavenward and Godward. But my friend will bring you down to the depths of eternal hell. I want to talk to you tonight. Shouldn't you start for heaven tonight? Shouldn't you get to the cross tonight? Shouldn't you make Christ your own and personal Savior? Will you do it tonight? There's only one way to heaven. It's the way of the cross. There's only one way to that cross. It's the pathway of confession. If we confess our sin. If you're a backslider, you need to confess your backsliding. If you're a sinner, you need to confess your sin. And if you do that, praise God, the Lord will genuinely and definitely and wonderfully save your soul.